This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and it's the Wednesday morning zine where we join you twice a month to talk about politics in the Four Corners area. Today we're going to talk about the non-native ordinance that's being attempted to be passed by the Montezuma County Commissioners and the Law Enforcement Authority Fund. First, though, these headlines.
Will there be a municipal election in Cortez? Right now, it doesn't appear likely. Just four candidates filed to run for four spots on the Cortez City Council, the Cortez Journal reports. The candidates are former Mayor Orly Lucero, incumbents Sean McLaughlin and Bob Archbeck, and newcomer Jim Price. Unless write-in candidates file petitions by March 19th, the municipal election will be canceled. The town of Dolores has already canceled its election after just two candidates filed for four open seats. Colorado snowpack looks good statewide, but locally it's just limping along. That's what local weather observer Jim Andrus told the Montezuma County Commissioners on Monday. February precipitation was 91% of normal, and temperatures were 5 to 10 degrees above normal. Andrus said the 30-day forecast is for warmer and wetter than normal weather. The body of a snowmobiler lost last Wednesday in an avalanche high in the La Plata Mountains near Shark's Tooth Peak may not be recovered until July or August. That's according to Sheriff Dennis Spruill. He told the commissioners Monday that despite the efforts of two helicopters, many dogs, and numerous searchers, the body of county resident Rob Yates could not be recovered because of deep snow and adverse conditions. The county commissioners continue to wrestle with a proposed ordinance aimed at keeping the Gunnison sage grouse from ever being reintroduced here. After their first draft of the ordinance was criticized as overly broad, they began seeking ways to make it more specific. On Monday, they directed County Attorney John Baxter to craft the ordinance so it directly refers to the sage grouse. They hope to have the ordinance passed before the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announces in May whether it will list the grouse as endangered. And the commissioners discussed concerns about whether it was proper to spend $800,000 from the Law Enforcement Authority Fund to lease new vehicles for the sheriff's office. Former Sheriff Gerald Wallace has said he doesn't believe the money should be spent to benefit the entire sheriff's office. But Sheriff Dennis Spruill and County Attorney John Baxter say the expenditure is allowed under the law.
Thanks, Gail. Let's start with the non-native ordinance, which would... Well, it started as an ordinance that would ban here in Montezuma County lots of products, lots of flour, I guess, wheat, non-native things. And the commissioners, was their goal always around the sage grouse?
Yes.
Okay. And so so they got a lot of feedback that said, now, hey, you know, I'm going to keep growing wheat here, even if you ban it. So they have focused the non-native ordinance to really come out and say it's about the sage grouse.
Well, that was the direction that they gave their attorney after Monday's meeting. They hashed out the issues quite a bit. They're still working on this ordinance. It's very much a work in progress.
Let's take a step back just before we go back into the local ordinance. The protection of the sage grouse, the Gunnison sage grouse, is a regional issue here, and is certainly affecting the KSJD listening area in southeast Utah, in Dolores County, and Montezuma County as well. Can you just back us in there and maybe get a brief background?
Sure. The Gunnison sage grouse is a species that was only... let's say, in the past couple decades, determined to be a different species from other sage grouse. Okay, so people didn't really necessarily even realize that there was a different kind of bird. I think all sage grouse are in a big decline, but the Gunnison sage grouse is down to like 4,000 birds. Mm. Okay, some of which are scattered across San Juan and Dolores counties. Now, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been saying for a long time that they may declare it as an endangered species. And they came out with a kind of a map showing some possible critical habitat that they could declare, which included parts of Dolores and San Juan counties, not Montezuma County. and Gunnison County and some others as well. They have put off a decision several times because they've received a lot of feedback. There's been a lot of angry protests, people saying this is going to affect their livelihoods. They're very concerned about what effect it might have on ranching, oil and gas drilling, farming, and so on.
Yeah, because the regulations would they would have people doing like landscaping is one way to think about it, but keeping lights out from your car lights from disturbing the habitat and the of the sage grouse, and it would be for private landowners, they would feel as if they were being told to do stuff on their land.
Well, they would be being told to do stuff on their land. That's absolutely true. Now, some of the measures may not be that dramatic. Up in Gunnison County, where the majority of the birds live, they've taken some measures that, as you mentioned, were just as simple as asking people to, turn off porch lights or have them not shine so far, or try not to disturb certain areas where the birds do their displays and mating in the spring. And in other words, it doesn't mean that you can't do anything at all with your land or that you can't continue to farm, but there might be certain measures that they would ask you to take. But understandably, people are very concerned. And now the Montezuma County Commissioners believe that they can get ahead of this, even though it's not clear that Fish and Wildlife has any intention of bringing the birds here or declaring critical habitat in Montezuma County. But just as a precaution, they decided maybe they could forestall this by passing this ordinance before the next decision or the decision is announced in May.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. She's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. We're talking about Montezuma County's latest ordinance to and honing of a non-native species ordinance. So the idea here is that if it's not native, then it can't be endangered.
Well, that it can be brought here. Okay, but the first draft of this ordinance was published in the Legals in the Cortez Journal, and a lot of county residents became concerned because it said you would have to obtain county permission to bring a non-native species here or face fines and potential imprisonment. Well, everybody got thinking about this, and there was a lot of laughing, basically, because, a lot of
how are you going to enforce that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, livestock species, many are non-native. Pets are non-native. There's lots of flowers and vegetables that people grow that are non-native and so on, So, and how could you enforce this, and why would you even try?
Right.
So after they got this feedback, the commissioners kind of went back to the drawing board and said, how are we going to do this? We don't want to affect ranchers. We don't want to affect people having pets. So first off, they decided they were going to limit it to animals only and not talk about plants. All right. And then they discussed whether it should just say, instead of saying non-native species, whether it should just specifically say the sage grouse and the Gunnison sage grouse. And they had a lengthy discussion about this. Some of them said, well, there's going to be problems with other species, and so we don't want to have to pass an ordinance every time. Somebody asked them, well, who is going to decide what is considered a non-native species? Because I think many biologists would say that the Gunnison sage grouse is actually a native species here. And they said that they would have to have public hearings, and the commissioners would then make a decision on what was native and non-native.
So the public, I would come in and weigh in on my opinion, and that would be counted in the record at this public meeting as somebody who had as much to say about the nativeness of the sage grouse, the Gunnison sage grouse in Montezuma County, as a scientist, say, or a biologist, or an archaeologist, or...
Well, I don't know how they would weight the comments, but certainly if it's a public hearing, you would be allowed to speak along with the biologists and so on. Their contention is that the biologists should prove to them that something was a native species.
Okay, so the assumption is it's not.
Yes.
And it will have to be proved to be native.
Yes.
And the public hearing is the place where the proving can happen.
Yes. At least that's the theory now.
Huh.
And so, as I said, they kind of talked back and forth about should you take it one species at a time, or should you say non-native species and then have a list of exceptions, like non-native species, except for domestic pets, except for livestock, except for beneficial things that are brought in, like tamarisk beetles, to designed to help the ecology and so on. And they decided that it would be simpler to just talk about the sage grouse. At least that was the latest decision. And so they directed John Baxter, their attorney, to make it just apply to sage grouse. And they were going to look at an ordinance from a Utah county that they referenced that they said had passed something similar, but their attorney said that ordinance had not held up in court. So,
is the thought that this is preemptive, but it is. Is there some inside knowledge that Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, is going to find some territory, either historic or prehistoric or whatever, territory in Montezuma County that needs to be, I guess, where this preemptive action would be necessary?
I don't know that they have any inside knowledge. I think they're just concerned. Of course, you know, one of the big questions is what obligation would a federal agency have to obey a county ordinance? Mm. And, you know, obviously that would raise some interesting legal questions and possibly be a bone of contention if this should ever come to pass. But the fact is that it may not, because whether or not they pass this ordinance, the Fish and Wildlife Service, even if they do declare the Gunnison sage grouse as an endangered species, they may not decide that Montezuma County constitutes critical habitat. So, you know, they could pass the ordinance and it might make no difference one way or the other, because Fish and Wildlife may never plan to bring the sage grouse here.
Is there a sense that there was a hue and outcry to do something and to take a preemptive action, or is this...
I think there was among certain circles. There weren't hordes of people coming to the commission meetings raising this issue, but there has been a hue and cry of general concern about the sage grouse listing.
Oh. Not just Montezuma County, but Dolores County and San Juan County, Utah.
Absolutely, yes. Because they actually have some of the birds already.
So the bottom line here is the county attorney is going to go back. He is going to rewrite the ordinance to focus in on the sage grouse, and we'll have a non-native an ordinance that states with the evidence of a public hearing that the Gunnison sage grouse is non-native.
Something like that. Now, they're going to discuss it again next Monday. They still have a couple weeks, I believe, to get this worked out before, you know, if they're going to get it passed before May, they have to publish it, have a public hearing. It's, you know, it's an ordinance, so they can't just do it themselves. They have to let the public weigh in about this ordinance. So they're on a kind of a strict timeline. But they still have, I think, a week or two to play with this before they actually have to have it in some kind of form and publish it and then ask the public for their feedback. They did, as I said, get some amusing comments with the first ordinance, which they do admit was overly broad. There were people writing in and saying, my neighbor's a Canadian, so I better get rid of him.
How about cows, right?
Yeah, well, they're concerned native. About cows, because people are always bringing in, you know, bulls that are obviously not native species.
Well, and then when do we define native? I mean, this is native, you know.
As of what date, I think,
right,
is a good question,
is that
too.
1492 native?
Right. Something that was here 100
horses were native
ago.
Here, yeah. In the Pleistocene, and, right. And then they went away.
Eohippus, yes.
Right, so... is there any thought about that? What is the actual definition of native?
Well, I think that's part of the reason they're saying now that they're going to just focus it on the sage grouse. And I'll be interested to see. I don't know how they're going to write it this time, but they were going to make it much more focused than the original draft was.
Okay. We're going to take a break here. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. She's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Hey, Gail is the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. We're back and talking about the Law Enforcement Authority Fund, which is kind of an arcane little taxing district sort of thing that is available to people in Colorado living in rural areas. But it's getting some news traction right now as it relates to the sheriff of Montezuma County, the former sheriff, and the use of law of use of these funds to lease law enforcement vehicles. So, first? Let's talk about the authority fund. What is it? Where does it come from? How was it supposed to be used, or what was it promised to be used on?
Okay, the Colorado laws allow for counties to have law enforcement authority funds, and they actually specifically call them that. And the statutes say that these funds, these authorities, they're a little bit like special districts, but they're not quite the same because they don't have a board. They're overseen by the county commissioners. Okay, this law enforcement authority is supposed to operate in the unincorporated areas of the county. So that leaves out the towns, the incorporated towns.
And the tribe.
Yes, and the tribe. Back in 2007, Sheriff Gerald Wallace campaigned kind of for this thing and got it passed. And he told the voters that the money would be used to provide for, I believe, additional deputies, to operate in the rural areas and make things safer, and to increase deputy salaries because they were way below the state median standard, and for, you know, future needs involving the unincorporated areas of the county. Well, the voters passed it, and it levies something like 1.75 mil property tax on people outside the towns. So they're the ones that are paying this. And I guess last year it raised about $800,000, something like that, which came out to be the amount that was needed to update the current fleet of vehicles for the sheriff's office, which everyone says was badly in need of, you know, repairing and replacing. So Sheriff Spruill went to the commissioners for their permission to spend this money to lease some new vehicles. They said yes. But now there's been some flack because former Sheriff Wallace says he doesn't believe that this was an appropriate way to spend the money because some of this money will trickle over and benefit people in Cortez, Dolores, and Mancos, basically.
Which are not in the taxing district.
Right.
So you'd basically be getting the milk for free.
Yes. Now, there's not, you know, I don't think tons of money or that's going to be benefiting the people in the towns, but there's a little, okay? For instance, Sheriff Wallace, former Sheriff Wallace, said that he always kept the money very separate. He kept the salaries separate for the five deputies that were paid by the LEA. Their equipment, their cars, everything was tracked by serial number, and it was paid for the LEA, and it was all separated out. He would not use the money to provide vehicles, let's say, for people at the jail, because the jail houses people who some are from the cities as well as the county and that kind of thing. He was very, very strict about this. Now, the law itself, as it was written and passed by the voters, is not quite that clear. Gerald Wallace says he believes that the voters were kind of duped, and that now that the cities are benefiting from money that is being taxed in the unincorporated areas. On the other hand, Sheriff Spruill says, look, you know, it's impossible to keep this completely separate. If you have a law enforcement authority deputy whose salary and all his equipment and so on is paid for out of these funds, and he's asked to help with a situation, a crisis in Cortez, is he supposed to stop at the city line?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Sort of like the audit process is almost asking how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
It's a very fine question.
Huh.
But some people are very concerned about this, and at the county commission meeting on Monday, Commissioner Larry Don Sukla, who was actually not present when they voted to okay this expenditure, said he'd been getting a lot of phone calls from people that were raising this question after they saw that former Sheriff Wallace had said he doesn't think this is right. Now, Wallace said that he thought the solution might be to just dissolve the law enforcement authority and ask voters countywide to pass a very small sales tax that would do the same thing, but that way it would be clear, and you know, it could provide for these extra deputies and improve their salaries and so on. The commissioners then at the meeting raised the question whether they thought that the sheriff's department might be overstaffed, and did they really even need this tax, and so on. Their administrator, Melissa Bruner, said that if they got rid of this money, they would have to reduce the force by at least 5 deputies and probably cut some of the salaries, a fair chunk out of that. So anyway, it's an interesting question, and they said that they're going to talk about this more when the sheriff's budget comes up in November. Now, all of this is, I think, coming to a head, we should mention, because this is an election year for the sheriff.
Yeah, the politics of, in this county, of trying to pass a revenue measure. Let's say you abolish some income that you have and then say, well, I'm going to go ahead and run for office again, and I'd like to pass a sales tax. That's not a guy.
It's a hard sell.
That's a hard one here. So,
yes.
So I'm interested in ex-Sheriff Wallace jumping back into the politics of this, because you know that suggestion is one that really would put a candidate's back to the wall in this conservative county. He feels like he made this promise and that the subsequent administrations have not lived up to it, and so he's feeling like there was a breach of trust. At least he's feeling like he couldn't keep his word, because or his word's not being kept.
Yes, and he points out that there's been so much turnover since then. You know, there's a new sheriff, there's a new county administrator, there's a new county attorney, and there's 2 new commissioners since 2007 since this was passed. And so he feels that these people, aren't so aware of the whole history, and they don't feel obligated to keep his promises.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I said, everything that the sheriff's office does, I think, between now and November is going to be scrutinized under a microscope, because we have, a race. Right now, there's 3 candidates in the race, including the incumbent. And sheriff's races, not just here, but pretty much everywhere, seem to be very competitive, very contentious. I'm being euphemistic. There's, it's often very bitter, let's put it that way. And every single issue is going to be scrutinized.
Has Sheriff Wallace come out as a partisan for any of the candidates that are running?
Not publicly, no.
Mm-hmm. So what will be the resolution here, if any? So, since they've asked, the Sheriff Spruill, Montezuma County Sheriff Spruill, has a permission from the commissioners to go ahead and use the funds. In fact, they've already been used and allocated. And his point is, you can't separate the two, and I'm not going to try. I'm working on other things. So is this just dead in the water, or is it getting more traction?
Well, I think it's dead in the water for now. They did make the decision, and their attorney said that it was appropriate under the law, that there wasn't anything forbidding this use of the money. So it's more that it's not – it's more a question of whether it was, the right thing to do than whether it was legal. It seems to be, clearly legal in the way that the law is written.
Hmm.
And I think this will be an issue for the next sheriff, if it continues to be Sheriff Spruill or whoever else, that they may want to take this up. And yes, after it's not an election year, they might want to consider whether it would be better, be an idea to float the question of dissolving this and passing a sales tax at the same time. Maybe they could have a measure that would do both at once, so you wouldn't be cutting off your funding and then possibly not having any new funding.
It'll be interesting to see if the 2 opponents who have declared against the incumbent use this to bludgeon him or make a point. You can say it any way you want. But
it'll be interesting to see what stand they take on it. Do they think this was an appropriate expenditure? Would they use the money the same way, or would they go back to, the accounting system used by Sheriff Wallace and be very, very strict about keeping all this stuff separate?
Yeah, it's very arcane and very interesting, and it's now coming into the political season, so it's getting fun. All right, that's going to have to wrap it up for today. This is Talking Heads. It's the Wednesday Morning Zine. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Thanks, Gail, for joining me. She's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. Stay tuned to KSJD for all your information, news, and entertainment.